Let's take our Bibles for a few moments before we go to prayer, turning to Psalm chapter 56. Psalm chapter 56, we're going to be looking at the message entitled, Facing the Foe Without Fear. Facing the Foe Without Fear. You'll notice in Psalm 56, we have the superscription that gives us the exact occasion for the writing of this psalm. It was written when David fled to Gath and encountered King Achish of Gath, where you recall David feigned himself mad. Incidentally, this also forms the background to Psalm 34 as well. This entire incident, if you'll just quickly save your place in Psalm 56, turning back to 1 Samuel chapter 21. 1 Samuel chapter 21, just reading five verses which form the background to what we are looking at. We remember that David had fled to Ahimelech. He had no food to eat, and he partook of the hallowed bread, and then also obtained an interesting item of equipment from a previous victory, namely Goliath's sword. And he was probably wearing Goliath's sword on his hip when he went into Philistine territory. It's rather interesting when you would think that this would be the case. You'll notice in verse 10 of chapter 21 of 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel 21:10, David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and he went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is not this David, the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? David laid up these words in his heart, and he was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. You know, David took his eyes off of the Lord, and at this point in time was greater with the fear of men than he was of God. And notice in verse 13, he changed his behavior before them and feigned or pretended himself mad in their hands. What a plan. What a plot. I'm wondering how many of you would have thought of this one. You'll notice that what he did would have indicated insanity. He let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Now, in Semitic countries, the worst thing in the world would be for someone to spit on your beard. The second worst thing would be to let spittle roll down on your own. It was a very dehumanizing thing to do, and when the Philistines would have seen that, they would have said, hey, this man is, he's just seen too much combat. He's shell-shocked. He's lost his mind. The man is absolutely mad. This is the guy that they sung the great well-known hymns to. Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Well, look at the reality behind it all. This man has fallen apart. Boy, the tabloids will have fun with this. Well, then Achish said unto his servants, Lo, you see the man is mad. Why, wherefore then have you brought him to me? Don't I have enough problems? You're bringing crazy people in front of me. What is this, a comedy act, you know? I mean, he's just wondering what in the world is going on. Have I need of madmen? He probably thought, you guys that I work with and that serve me are crazy enough, and now you've brought this madman before me, that you've brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence. Shall this fellow come into my house? And of course, David departed then, and he escaped. Well, the background to Psalm 56, you'll notice, is exactly this particular passage that we're looking at here. The word nekam means a prayer, and thus this is a prayer of David concerning those who were out to take his life. You know, in Psalm 55, the previous passage that we had looked at, what to do when you feel like escaping, David's problems were with his own household. Within his own home, he had insurrection. Well, in Psalm 56, we see the flip side of the coin. We see now where the problems are from outside that are attacking David. And in Psalm 56, we're going to see five observations in our passage here in Psalm 56. I want you to notice in verses 1 and 2, we see a daily fight. A daily fight. We're going to be looking at facing the foe without fear. You know, you are facing a daily fight. David faced a daily fight. We cannot afford, folks, to lay our shields down. We can't afford to go through life in the energy of the flesh. And I think that David felt very poorly about his escape and how he resorted to his own ways. But you know, we're facing a daily fight. Notice in verses 1 and 2, "Be merciful unto me, O God." David, by the way, is asking for mercy here. You know, grace is receiving what we don't deserve, isn't it? But mercy is not receiving what we deserve. And the Lord here, and David tells us, "Lord, I need mercy in my life, O God." Notice the daily fight. "For man would swallow me up. He, fighting daily, oppresses me." You know, it's a daily struggle that we have against the old devil. And David says in this daily fight, "I need God's mercy and I need God's mediation. I need His divine intervention in my life." It's a daily fight. Notice, "My enemies would daily swallow me up." It's a daily fight that we have. And of course, the greatest one is that roaring lion who is seeking whom he may devour. And he oppresses us daily. Notice it says, "My enemies would swallow me up. They that be many shall fight against me, O thou most high." So we have a daily fight in verses 1 and 2. Can any of you testify to the fact that you do not have a daily fight with the devil? Oh, you know, a carnal Christian will tell you, "Things are going great. The devil doesn't bother me. I'm just sailing right through life." What does that indicate? Well, the devil has you already where he wants you, on the shelf. But if you determine, and if I determine, to really mean business for God, and make hay as the sun shines, so to speak, and serve the Lord every day, we're going to have a battle on our hands. The devil's going to try to discourage us. And it's a daily fight. And that's why we have to take on daily the armor of God and seek His strength. But then I want you to notice in verses 3 and 4, we do not only have a daily fight, we have a determined faith. We need a determined faith. And we have to go with it. Notice in verses 3 and 4, it says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." I mean, he is using determination here. He's not going to say, "I'm going to trust in the Lord when things are going well for me or when I feel like it." He's exercising his will, his determination. And he makes a twofold commitment. In verse 3, he says, "I'm going to trust the Lord." And then in verse 4, he says, "I'm going to praise the Lord." Trust and praise go hand in hand. And they both, folks, take determination. They take an "I will." If we go by feeling, we're not going to have that determination. But it says, "I will trust in thee when I'm afraid." Fear, folks, there's nothing wrong in being fearful. It's just like a soldier. When a soldier is in battle and he's facing the enemy, if he's made out of flesh and blood like you are, there's going to be fear there. But it's knowing how to handle that fear and putting the fear that normally would be flight make it to fight, you see, and to use that adrenaline and act in light of your training. And you were trained to act instinctively in certain ways, how to use your weapon, military combat, methods, hand-to-hand combat, all of that kicks in automatically because you've made a determination to use that which you've been trained towards, you see. And here, just like a soldier of military combat, we are soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need that determination. I'm going to trust in the Lord, and I'm going to praise His name. Now, I want us to notice in verses 5 through verse 7, we're facing a disruptive foe. We have a disruptive foe. He loves to sow discord. As a matter of fact, you can really see in this whole passage, really all the way through in verses 1 through 6, the characteristic of David's enemies. And they really were disruptive. For instance, our enemies are eager. Number one, our enemies are eager. It says in verse 1, they would swallow me up. They're like fierce animals that would just gobble you up. They're constant. In verse 2, it says they would come daily. They're numerous. Our enemies are numerous because it says in the latter part of verse 2, they be many that fight against me. They're dishonest. Look at verse 5. The enemies that we have are dishonest. They wrest my words. Has anybody ever twisted your words to get a meaning which you never intended those words to have? They're not only eager, constant, numerous, and dishonest, but they were confederate. They gathered themselves together. Look at the first part of verse 6. They gather themselves together. They're secret, number 6. They hide themselves. And oh, how we need to be on guard for the wiles of the devil and also the weakness of the flesh and the ways of the world. They're cunning. Look at verse 6 again. They wait for my soul. And Satan is our arch enemy. But you know, praise the Lord that we can have, in spite of a disruptive foe that we face in verses 5 through 7, and he is disruptive, notice what we have in verses 8 through 13. In verses 8 and 9, rather. Let's take a look at verses 8 and 9 here. We have here a discriminating favor. Our Lord treats us with favor. Notice it says, "Thou tellest my wanderings." We are in the favor of the Lord. He knows our wanderings. Everywhere where David went, whether it was Gath or whether it was the caves or in the wilderness, wherever he was, it says, "Lord, thou tellest my wanderings." The Lord knows. We have his favor, and he loves us. And he says here, "Put thou my tears in a bottle." That's referring to the ancient Semitic practice of individuals that would weep at the graveside of loved ones and then symbolically place their tears in a skin and place it at the graveside as if God, a demonstration of the fact that God is aware of my tears for this person. Well, the Lord, here David is saying, "Lord, I know that you're aware of all of my tears. You put my tears in a bottle." I remember as a young teenager, recently saved, I went through a very difficult time in my life, and I remember finding a bottle of perfume that was empty that my mom had left in the drawer. And I remember reading this verse, and every time I had my cry times with the Lord, I put my tears in that bottle. I just never collected enough to really see them in that bottle. But I remember distinctly the trial that I was going through and praying my tears in that bottle. But the truth of the matter is, the Lord was aware of what I was going through. And He has His book of remembrance, and He's aware, and we have His discriminating favor. Notice He says, "When I cry unto Thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know," and I like this, "for God is for me." You know, there are a lot of Christians that just don't realize that God is for us. Or else they're certainly not living that way. They see God as someone who is a joy killer. And I've said it before, some type of a cosmic ogre that's going to call them to the worst of circumstances, and that Christianity is a joy killer. No, the Word of God says God is for us. Does anybody remember where that's found in the New Testament? I believe that Brother Bruce recently preached on that, didn't he? Now, what book does Brother Bruce enjoy? Oh, Romans chapter 8, verse 31. If God be for us, who can be against us? You don't have to fear the enemy. Oh, we can face the foe without fear. Why? Because we are the objects of God's discriminating favor. And He loves us. And He promises to put a big grid over our lives. And that grid has Romans 8:28 written all over it. And all things work together for good to them that love God, to those that are the called according to His purpose. Now, the fifth reason why we can face the foe without fear is because we have a divine force. We have a divine force. Look at verses 10 through 13. Notice His power and His word that we have available to us. It says, "In God I will praise His word. In the Lord I will praise His word." You know, in verses 10 and 11, you have the "in God" used two times. Because He, in Him, that is where we find our comfort. In Him is where we find His word and His promises and His purpose. And people, even professing Christians today, are looking and putting their faith and trust in so many things. Don't put them on your mutual funds, you know. Don't put them on the stock market. Don't put them on candidates who are seeking to run for office or on the political horizon. In God, He is our trust. And in Him, notice, I will praise. That determination comes out again. And in God, I have put my trust. You know, people want to take that out of our coinage, don't they? They want to do that. Oh, let's remove it. Well, they've taken it out of their lives, so they just want to make it official, don't they? But it says here, "I will not be afraid what man can do unto me." Folks, do you know, if we lived by that phrase, "I will not be afraid what man can do unto me," do you know how much happier we would be and how much more peaceful we would be? I think things would have gone a little bit better before Achish if he had practiced that just a little bit earlier. "I will not fear." You know, the trouble that we as Christians get into, oftentimes because we fear what man can do unto us. Jesus said we ought not to fear man. We ought to fear Him who has the authority, literally, to destroy both soul and body in hell. Notice it says here, we have His divine force. It goes on, "For Thou hast delivered my soul from death." David realized, in spite of his mistakes, God was the one who delivered him from King Achish, in spite of his mistakes. Now, folks, I'll tell you what. There have been times when I've done things in my life in the flesh, and God, by His mercy, had mercy on me anyway. It's true. They've been timed. And, you know, that's why we're to be merciful with one another, because God has been merciful to us. You know, the irony of things, and I'm not going to go off into a rabbit trail, but I'm just going to mention this very quickly. Sometimes those people that have been forgiven the most in their lives are the most stringent and legalistic and unmerciful Christians. And why in the world that happens? They just forget the goodness and mercy of God that was shown unto them. Very similar to the parable of Matthew 18. And you'll find that sometimes the ones that have been shown the most mercy will turn around and forget all of that and kick Christian brothers and sisters while they are down and have the shortest of fuses. And I'll tell you what, I do not think that a person that is practicing that is living in the shadow of the Almighty or being in the Word of God or in remembrance of all that the Lord has demonstrated. But you know, David said, in spite of the fact that I've made so many mistakes, thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. David was a man after God's own heart, not because he was perfect, but because when he made mistakes, he came back and he confessed his sin, yea, under chastening and trial and testing. And folks, you know, I'm frankly, as a pastor, not as concerned on the transgressions that a person has done in the past, as much concerned as I am, what are they doing in light of that? And how have you corrected your ways? And how are you serving God now to build upon lessons from the past? And the old devil tries to dredge up the past, but you know, we need to put it under the blood and go on, because we have a divine force and he is in favor of us. He is for me. Notice, wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the land of the living. I don't know how much longer you have to walk on this earth, and frankly, I don't even know how long I have. But I'll tell you this. This is my prayer right now before you, before the Lord, before my heart. I want to walk before God in the land of the living. And you know, in spite of all of the mistakes of the past that I have made and you have made that are under the blood of Christ, I want to make my days count for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to live under the shadow of the Lord. And I'm going to face the foe without fear, because we have, yes, a daily fight. Yes, we can face that daily fight with a determined faith. He's a disruptive foe, but we are the objects of his discriminating favor. He's a divine force, and you know, there's none greater than the one that we serve and go to in prayer. Let's bow our heads together. Do you have heavy burdens in your heart tonight? Maybe even this week you've taken matters into your own hands and your response has not been that which you are proud of. David didn't respond exactly the way he should have before Achish. Isn't it wonderful to know that God still had mercy even in the midst of his frailties? But he wanted in his heart to serve God. And he responded in light of that. Won't you make that commitment before the Lord tonight? Lord, in you I will praise your word. I'll put my trust. I'll not be afraid of what the enemy can do unto me. Because I'm going to get so close to you, I'm going to abide under the shadow of your Almighty. You're my almighty power. Won't you make that prayer yours today? Lord, thank you. And I pray that if there be any that may be listening to this message that do not know Christ as Savior, may they come into that grace that establishes victory through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith in Christ, receiving him as personal Savior. Thank you for victory in Jesus that we can proclaim tonight. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen.